I have a Mother's Day joke for you. A young man was wandering through the supermarket with just a basket of a few items when he noticed an elderly woman quietly following him from aisle to aisle. Every time he stopped, she stopped. He picked up a carton of milk, she nodded. He picked up cereal, she nodded. He grabbed frozen pizza, she sighed. Finally, in the checkout line, the woman stepped in front of him and said softly, "I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable. It just, you look exactly like my son. He moved away years ago and I haven't seen him since." The young man felt bad hearing it. "Oh, wow, I'm sorry. Is there anything I can do for you?" She smiled warmly. "Actually, yes. As I leave the store, could you just say, 'Goodbye, Mother'?" It would make an old woman very happy. The young man chuckled. "Of course." So as she slowly walked toward the exit, he waved and called out loudly, "Goodbye, Mother." The old lady turned, smiled sweetly, and waved back. The young man stepped up to the cashier, still feeling pretty good about himself, until the clerk said, "That will be $150.50. "What?" he exclaimed. "I only bought milk, cereal, and pizza." The cashier shrugged. "Well, your mother said you'd pay for her groceries." The clerk intuitively would have thought that a mother would ask her son to pay for her groceries, and a caring son would gladly oblige. In a close, loving relationship, people support and nurture one another. The relationship we have with God is nurturing as well, except that God is the provider and we are the recipients. Even though the provider's work is incomprehensibly greater than the recipient's, and God does most of the work behind the scenes, the recipients have duties and obligations to maintain the tie. Jesus illustrated its significance by using the example of a vine in John 15. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. If you remain in me, I'm in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This teaching is so simple that even little children can understand. God has everything we need, and all we have to do is to be connected to God. If we are, our lives will be very productive and fulfilling. Productivity is what God desired of us as well, so that by the fruit we produce, God is glorified. Let's reflect on our connection to God. If our relationship with God is weakened by our unfaithfulness, God, the gardener, takes necessary action to prune branches that do not bear fruit, beginning with gently nudging us and patiently waiting for us to straighten our path. But he will eventually have to discipline us if we remain stubbornly disobedient. If we do not return to him, he will have to take more severe pruning. This is what happened to the people of Israel. Despite God's warning for ages, Israel continued to rebel against God. Instead of holding on to God, they abandoned God and turned to foreign idols. By their continued stubborn disobedience, they were cut off like pruning an olive tree. In a couple of places in the Old Testament, an olive tree symbolized Israel. Understandably, because olive trees grow abundantly in the region, with soil and climate that perfectly suit them. The prophet Jeremiah, seeing the imminent judgment from God, said in Jeremiah 11:16, "The Lord called you a thriving olive tree, with fruit beautiful in form. But with the roar of a mighty storm, he will set it on fire, and its branches will be broken." They were indeed broken off as a result of their disobedience, lost the nation's sovereignty, and went into exile in Babylon. According to Paul, the Gentiles are a wild olive shoot grafted in the place of Israel, the original olive branch. As Jesus warned of pruning, Paul warned of the consequences of believers' unfaithfulness. As long as we, the Gentiles, are attached to the olive tree, we receive the nourishing sap from the olive root. But we can also be broken off if we walk on the same path as Israel. Both Jesus and Paul speak of God's kindness and sternness. As long as we remain in God and follow His teaching, we will be cared for and everything we need will be provided. If we do not remain in God, the pipeline to the source of our sustenance is shut off and our life will be dried off. Let's briefly think about the levels of spiritual dryness. When we are spiritually alive, in close communion with the Lord, we are well nourished and do not feel dry in our spirit. But when we neglect our relationship with the Lord, our spirit feels thirsty. Feeling thirsty means the spiritual sensitivity is still there. We are still spiritually alive, even though barely. If we continue to fail to nurture our relationship with God and do not feel any need to quench our dried out spirit, it means our spirit is dead. So how can we remain attached to the vine? The foremost step is to acknowledge that we are branches. We are very familiar with the scene of the crowd waving branches at the time of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. By waving branches, the crowd recognized Jesus as king and themselves as subjects. Looking deeper into the event, the crowd was saying to Jesus that they were branches and that Jesus was the vine. Jesus was the sustainer, provider, and source of their hope and strength. Jesus was their absolute necessity for survival. The book of Revelation in chapter 7, there is a more explicit explanation on this. It says that a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hand. By holding palm branches, those who were saved expressed their relationship to their Savior as branches of a tree. As the crowd on Palm Sunday did, and as the multitude of those who are saved in heaven will, we always need to hold branches in our hand and recognize our relationship to Jesus. This acknowledgement leads us to take the next step for our sustenance. The nourishing sap from a tree is God's grace to sustain us, gives us life, makes us flourish, and bear fruit. For this to happen, we need to remain in God, be connected to the vine. This attachment is meant to be eternal. The moment we are detached, we dry up and become lifeless. What would be a tree from which we receive the nutrition for an abundant life, free of charge? What would be a tree that leads us to spiritual death if we are detached from it? The tree is the cross of Jesus. Deuteronomy 21:23 says that anyone hanged on a tree is under God's curse. Jesus took on the curse on the tree for our salvation. And in another place, in the Garden of Eden was the tree of life. After Adam and Eve sinned against God, God did not allow them to reach out to the tree of life and live forever. After they were expelled from the garden, God placed cherubim and a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life until God's designated time to open the access to the tree of life that gives eternal life. And that happened in Calvary. Depending on how we hold onto the tree of life, the cross, we can either be alive and flourish or dry up and become spiritually famished. The teaching of a tree is the good news about the kindness of God, but also a warning about the sternness of God. How we are attached to the vine decides life or death. Kenneth Osbeck, in the book called 101 Hymn Stories, shared the following. Century ago, on the south coast of China, high up on a hill overlooking the harbor of Macao, Portuguese settlers built an enormous cathedral. They believed it would weather time, and they placed upon the front wall of this cathedral a massive bronze cross that stood high into the sky. Not too many years later, a typhoon came, and God's fingerwork swept away man's handiwork. And all of that cathedral was pushed into the ocean and down the hill as debris, except the front wall and that bronze cross that stood high. Centuries later, there was a shipwreck out a little beyond that harbor, and some died and few lived. One of the men that was hanging onto wreckage from the ship, moving up and down in the crest of the ocean as the swells were moving, was disoriented, frightened, and he didn't know where land was. As he would come up on the swell, he would spot that cross, tiny from that distance. His name was Sir John Boring. When he made it to land and lived to tell the story, he wrote a poem, which is a lyric of the hymn we are familiar with. In the cross of Christ, I glory, towering over the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathered round its head sublime. And the last stanza, when the ooze of life overtake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. Looking at the cross, the tree of life, holding onto it and loving it, build a strong tie with the Lord Jesus and strengthen our spirit. Our connection to the tree, Our relationship with the Lord Jesus is never to be taken for granted. Many take mother's love for granted because they feel the relationship is so natural. But when mothers pass on, it is too late to build the relationship with them. There's nothing left but regret. Like any human relationship, we need to do our part to build our relationship with God, always mindful that we are branches, recipients of nurture, not the vine, the provider of everything. And we must do our best to hold on to the cross until our last breath, because the cross is the only lifeline we have. Amen.